Warning, the following show contains harsh language and topics that some viewers may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, wrestling fan.
Why have you been going down on your grandma?
I thought Layla died.
Yeah, Rosebud. My name is Coleslaw.
Woo!
You're literally driving us mad. Hello, wrestling fans, and welcome to another edition of The Suplex. I am Andy Kwan, and with me as always is Sam Brooks.
My microphone was just unmuted. How are you doing, you stupid bastards?
Oh, I forgot to mute mine, so if you heard a massive door creak, I was going to the loo. Hello, yes, everyone.
We all heard
professional
that.
Intro.
And with me as always, you just heard him, it's Keelan Balderson.
Good evening.
And also, Carmine Antonelli.
Hey, being introduced last. Again, for some reason.
Just a thing.
It's a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy.
There's no conspiracy. Yeah. Everything's fine.
Yeah, you say that.
Yeah, I don't trust you. Anyway, this week's a very special episode, of course.
Yes.
What?
I was just agreeing with you. You do it.
Fine. So we're not doing typical news this week. As some of you may or may not know, the Supla has an annual tradition of doing a in-depth topic episode at the end of August. And this is that episode. Last year was, I don't know, what's wrong with liking wrestling, I think?
What's wrong with everything, I believe.
What's wrong with my life?
What's wrong with the Supla?
The first annual episode was what's wrong with TNA, what's wrong with wrestling, what's wrong with liking wrestling, stuff like that. And this year, we are doing...
Should be what's wrong with liking TNA, but carry on.
Everything. But this year, we are doing what is wrong or what is not wrong with part-timers in WWE.
Ooh, snap.
So we're all just going to have a big hour-long in-depth discussion on the pros, the cons, the good, the bad, the ugly of pro wrestlers and how they are utilized in world wrestling entertainment.
And if you are in the chat, you can join in with this discussion by saying things and we'll read them out.
If you're in the chat, you can join in by being in the chat. Brilliant.
That's what I meant to say. But
do the
I'm
thing
really
to
stupid.
Do the thing. Great job.
Thank you. Also, if you are on Twitter, I guess you could tweet at us.
Sure, I'll be scouring Twitter if you want.
At us.
At us? Hello? No, you can tweet at me at Andy Kwan.
At Nono Akimbo for me.
At Akihiko Sam. Akihiko Sam, for those who have trouble with words.
Mine's fairly simple. It's at Wrestling News. I snapped that one up.
And the Supla has a Twitter as well, so...
Which is at the Supla.
Thanks for saying it when you mentioned we had one, Andy.
At the Supla.
There you go, buddy.
There we go.
Yeah! And I'm good at this.
We're soon going to have something very special. We're going to have a website. So...
Yay!
Hallelujah. Snap.
Launching just before the next live show, which is 2 weeks... We will go live on... I'm not going to give away the domain just yet in case someone buys it first. Maybe I shouldn't even say that. Fuck, but...
well done. Well,
why are we making this announcement before buying the domain?
Because
yeah,
I'm
really?
About to buy it, but you guys don't want to give me money.
Part-timers! We're talking about part-timers, guys.
So, yes, part-timers. So, in order to have a decent discussion. We need to talk about what is good and what is also bad about part-timers. So why don't we start with something that we never do on this show and talk about good things? So why is it a good thing to have part-timers in the WWE?
Well, the first example I thought of a good example of a part-timer being utilized is Chris Jericho's 2012 run in the WWE. He showed up, had this big thing going on about the end of the world as you know it, blah, blah, blah. And he comes back and he targets the champion at the time, CM Punk. And it was a dream feud and one that actually worked, because the only reason I say that is because currently we have a lot of dream feuds going on that actually aren't going too well. But Punk vs. Jericho is one that went amazingly well, and it made Punk look good. Jericho looked like a threat the entire time, and it did its job of elevating the title with a big time feud. Even though Jericho is not a permanent member of the roster, he is a part-timer. So with an example like that, you can see how part-time talent is, once in a while, a very good thing.
Who was the very first part-timer?
I would probably say
The Undertaker!
Undertaker or The Rock.
Probably Undertaker.
Yeah.
Most likely.
I mean, I'm sure it must have happened before there was an internet and people knew everything about everything, like just because someone's not on TV for a couple of weeks, whatever. I'm sure it's probably happened before, but yeah, I guess it's either The Undertaker or The Rock.
Probably. Not even The Rock. It's The Undertaker. If we're going with that timeline, it's...
I think even Shawn Michaels, like, never used to do the house shows, or there was a period when he was a part-timer.
Is that what constitutes a part-timer, though? Not doing house shows?
Maybe we should have defined this before we...
Okay, yeah. Well, what is a part-timer then? Is it someone like Brock who just comes in every now and then? Or is it someone like The Rock who comes in every now and then? Or is it someone who doesn't work house shows? Is it someone who doesn't work SmackDown and only works Raw?
Well, I think WWE is obviously known for having the, quote, grueling schedule, and it's something that wrestlers have talked about for decades, that, oh, we work 300 plus days a year, we get all these injuries, we don't have time to recuperate. So I would say a part-timer is anyone that isn't doing the same schedule as everybody else.
I would agree to that.
That's actually a very good way of putting it. It's I always looked at part-timers as someone like Chris Jericho or currently Rob Van Dam, who will show up, do a few months, maybe do a storyline in that time, and then vanish for just as long as they were there. But someone like Brock Lesnar, who shows up for a couple weeks and then vanishes for like 4 months, that obviously also qualifies. Someone who does the Santa Claus schedule like Undertaker obviously qualifies.
Somebody who dresses up like Santa Claus, like Mick Foley.
Yeah, Mick Foley.
If only he was still employed.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the reasons why I've said that part-timers are good is the idea that they can put people over. Like, if you wanted to put Roman Reigns over, for instance, I wouldn't have him against, like, one of the main people on the main roster, because then that person on the main roster, who's not Roman Reigns, is kind of quasi, will be, like, buried. But if he beats Brock eventually, then he would look amazing, because he's just beaten Brock fucking Lesnar. So, in that sense, part-timers are a good thing, because none of your full-time members of your roster are actually going to be sacrificed for one guy. And instead, you could bring in Rob Van Dam, who could make somebody look good because he loves landing on his face and on his head for some reason. And, you know, you could have that.
But that brings up another question. Are part-timers only good for one thing, and that's just putting other people over? And eventually, is that just going to lose its power? Because everybody knows who's part-time, so everyone has a feeling that they're probably not going to be given the title. They're probably not going to... Well, Brock Lesnar's just broken that rule, but... Is that the only thing part-timers are for? I think it's really an individual... It depends on the person, like, because we've seen how Batista came back, and just because of the fans' perception of Batista and the way WWE booked him, you could say that completely failed. That doesn't mean part-timers is a bad thing. It just means WWE fucked up.
Yeah, I would agree. But I do have to say that there are a variety of reasons why part-timers can be a good thing. Take, for example, Brock Lesnar in the current day. He is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. He beat John Cena, who's on the product for pretty much every week when he's not filming movies like a douchebag. But more importantly, John Cena is shoved down our throats like every single time he's on TV. And it kind of diminishes the title, because if he's won it 15 times, then how does it make John Cena special? When it's you have just, someone like...
Like if Cena wins it a 15th time, it's like, oh, here we go again. He's just going to
Here we go again. Whereas if Brock Lesnar wins, then it adds a kind of prestige, adds a kind of higher like regard, if you will, because if you can beat the guy who's only around so often and he beats the basically the face of the company, then that's gonna add some meaning to being the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, as opposed to beating Cena and then losing to Cena again at the next pay-per-view.
That goes back to what Paul Heyman...
I can't remember when like Paul Heyman said this, but yeah, like his analogy for Brock Lesnar not being around on a full-time basis is that if Brock Lesnar was around on a full-time basis, he would kick everyone's ass and there'd be no one left. That's kind of the way that Paul Heyman suggests it. I don't know if that's in kayfabe or fucking real life. I don't know. But
well, if you look at something like UFC, which I still think is WWE's closest kind of competitor, what you can compare the two companies, like, when you're a fighter, when you're a champion, you don't, or even in boxing or whatever, any of the sport, wrestling's a simulation of a sport with added drama and so on and so forth. You don't defend the title all the fucking time, and you're not having matches all the fucking time, because you've got to train, you've got to promote the fight, you've got to do all this kind of stuff. I think if the world title picture is slowed down a little bit, not kind of in your face all the time, it like you've said, it makes it more prestigious, it makes it more important, it separates it from all the silly shit that you see on Raw every week with fucking, I don't know, Hornswoggle and all that shit. It's the world title. When that comes on, you know that's important.
Yeah, exactly. And not only does it add prestige to that title itself, it can also add a bit of meaning to the lower tier titles, like, say for example, the Intercontinental title. Right now we have Dolph Ziggler and The Miz, two former world champions fighting for a mid-card belt. Now, in my opinion, that adds a lot more value to the Intercontinental title, because if you have former main eventers, former world champions fighting for the thing that's supposed to be for lower-tier performers, per se, then that kind of restores meaning as well, because they don't really have the opportunity to go for a main title anymore because of the unification and because, well... call me crazy, I wouldn't want to face Brock Lesnar at any point.
No.
Well, we've seen on like Raw, they're willing to take risks now. They've had Stephanie McMahon and Brie Bella close out the show a couple of times. Why not have, like you were saying, the Intercontinental title? Why not just have a really long, decent main event match for the IC title, main event in Raw? Why not do that?
We just had Ambrose and Rollins main event Raw.
Which is good, but at the same time, you got to remember Ambrose and Rollins is a very big feud that would probably main event Raw.
But my point, could you imagine that? Could you imagine that happening? Like, if I went to you a year ago, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins will be main eventing Raw.
A year ago, I would have believed you.
Because it did happen a year ago when they were part of Shield. Remember that?
Yeah, but I mean, on their own, in their own match, it's just like.
If you had told me, I would have been ecstatic.
These are very new names that are main eventing Raw, so that's a great thing on any kind of level.
But the thing is, as well, like, say when The Rock came back, I feel like that this is another reason why I think part-timers are good, is that someone like The Rock, for instance, can bring in former fans who were fans, like, back in the Attitude Era or whatever, and The Rock comes back, and everyone's like, oh, I might want to watch this again. And by doing that, you then, by default, you have more people watching your product, watching, like, Rollins, and watching Ambrose, and watching Reigns, and they're like, these guys are actually really good, and shit like that. So, from that perspective, you have more people viewing the product, if the average person knows who the fuck is coming in is. Yeah.
I think part of the reason why part-timers like The Rock, though, and Batista kind of get a hard time, at least from the hardcore fans, is because we see people like Dolph Ziggler working their ass off every week on TV, all the different B shows. They're on all the house shows as well. And then these guys just waltz in. I'm not saying it's a bad thing personally, but I can see why fans like, because you have these hardworking young people. It should be their time. They should be breaking out and getting the main events and getting the titles and starting like a new generation. And WrestleMania is just full of like people like The Rock. Batista coming back. Oh, he's been promised the title. All this kind of shit. Like, the concept of part-timers isn't a bad thing. But I think sometimes the way it's executed, it just, in the fans' eyes, it's like you're screwing everybody else that's putting in the hard work now.
Well, I can kind of see where you're coming from with that. But many people are always in this, like, WWE universe, they always say, oh, The Rock, he's great whenever he shows up. But if The Rock is only there, say, for 3 months, if he's there from January until March, Rumble till Mania, what's going to happen outside of those months? I mean, sure, the younger talents like Bryan, Reigns, Rollins, all of those people, they're going to shine, but to a smaller audience. Because if there are people who are tuning in solely to see The Rock or Batista, then they're going to tune out when they realize, oh, hang on, he's not on this show.
Yeah, I just, the idea of, we're going to make The Rock the champion, we're going to bring in a bigger audience, but guess what? The Rock being champion is never going to be featured on Raw. Kind of counterproductive. Yeah,
if a guy's never there, then the fans aren't really either, so it kind of just goes over their head how good the young guys are.
Yeah. And at the same, I forgot what I was going to say. Someone else.
I think it all depends, like, what camp you're in as a fan. Like, we watch it every week. We read everything that happens. We write about it. We talk about it every week. From a sort of outsider perspective, if you're just some kid watching at home on TV, I don't think you even realize there's such thing as a part-timer. It doesn't really... So, in a story sense, if you're just watching wrestling for fun, then it accomplishes something, but people that are paying really close attention, I mean, it's kind of like, maybe we just have to sit back and go, okay, if it's best for business, then we can put up with some of these things that we might not like, but if it works out better for wrestling in the long run, maybe that's something we have to endure, because that's our fault for fucking reading everything we possibly can about wrestling online.
But the thing is, it's like, if I was a younger fan, and this is kind of leading on to my bad points now, but like, if I was a younger fan, and I was a fan of, say, I don't know, Dolph Ziggler, right? What fucking point is there me being invested in this guy's character if he's never going to be, like, world champion again? If my favorite fucking wrestler will never be on top in the main event ever again because, oh, we're going to bring back, I don't know, The Godfather for no reason, right? Or, I don't know, whatever. What sense is there in doing that? And then with that, from a business standpoint, it fucks everything up. It fucks up the booking, right? I remember when Ryback was huge. He was the most over person ever. All he needed to do was move his fucking shoulder. That was it. But yeah. Then everyone realized that Ryback was never actually going to win because already we knew that there was going to be a rematch with Rock and Cena, and it was going to happen again. And it fucked everything up. It fucked Ryback up to the point now where he's teaming up with fucking Michael McGillicuddy, for Christ's sake. And there's no point then even being invested in the part-timers either, because then they just fucking go. So what sense is there in being a full-time wrestler on this roster as well? Because if you can't work at WrestleMania, or you can't, like, be in the main event, what's the point?
Well, I see where you're coming from with that. I mean, sure, being on main event, the main event of every show would be great. It would be the best thing that could happen to a wrestler. But at the same time, if, say, if I was a pro wrestler, if I was Dolph Ziggler, Would I be happy with my position in the company, like never being world champion again? No. But I can settle for being in a pretty good feud for a mid-card belt and having a very dedicated fan following.
But that's like saying, okay, if I got a job tomorrow and I worked in this place for fucking, I don't know, 10 years and I worked my way up the ladder and then some dickhead who they just hire comes along and beats me to like a promotion, even though like they were happily like, they were there and then they left and then they came back again. Like, no, get to the back of the fucking queue and start again. Like, why? I don't understand that logic. Like, what is the point? There is no point. If anything, at this stage, if I was a Dolph Ziggler or fucking anyone else, I'd be like, you know what, fuck this, I'm going to go and do something else for a while, and then I'll come back. And that's probably what CM Punk has probably gone and done. He's probably thought to himself, nah, there's no fucking point doing this. I'll just go away, I'll watch a load of hockey games, I'll marry AJ, I'll just sit there and do nothing, and then eventually, when the time is right, you'll hear ch-ch-ch-diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle, and he'll come in, and he'll fucking, and he'll be just like them.
So literally, it's a case of if you can't beat them, join them. Because I'm pretty sure he left because of the whole Batista part-time thing. So he was probably just thinking,
well, fuck it.
I can't change things from my couch in Chicago. But
maybe I can change things from my couch in Chicago.
Maybe I can do that. I'm going to go start a fire and a podcast. Great. Okay. But what the fuck? You leave your fans for that logic?
Like, did start a podcast yet? Did that happen yet?
I don't give a shit. Everyone has a podcast.
Seriously, I'm sick of other podcasts. JR is to ours. The worst.
Our one is the only one you should listen to.
But anyway, JR is so bad. He's so dull. It's
an impression.
Well, I think that the Ring of Honor guys need to slow down. My God.
Your JR is so bad.
They need to learn how to sell a punch.
Your JR impressions are great. His impressions are great because he has like five people for each impression. That's also your Matt Hardy impression.
That was the same.
Hi, I'm Matt Hardy. I like to eat grapes. My God.
My God, it's Matt Hardy.
That grape had a family.
Hi, I'm Jeff Hardy. I wear face paint. And I suck.
My God, I'm beating up my wife.
Wait, what?
Jesus. Anyway, so I actually have a few points that have been building up. So Andy's analogy with a company actually reminds me of a real life example I have of one of my managers currently. Used to work there like 8 years ago as a manager. She left, did something else with her career, and then decided to come back to be a manager again. But she didn't just get to jump right back into being a manager and pick whatever store she wanted. She had to go back through manager's training for like 3 months and more or less go through the whole process again before she could get that job back. Life doesn't work that way. But for some reason in wrestling, we accept it.
The Rock and she's like, I understand, a Hollywood star.
But at the same time, you can bring The Rock in without putting him in the title picture. Because when they did that, you were talking about doing something and we'll put up with it if it's going to be for the greater good. The Rock's return was not for the greater good because
the greater good
at the time, CM Punk was champion. He had a really good feud going on with Ryback, depending on how you feel about it. And then The Rock shows up, says, I'm going to face whoever's champ at the Royal Rumble just because I'm The Rock, LOL. And then Royal Rumble time comes. It's still CM Punk. Rock beats him. Elimination Chamber rematch, Rock beats him, WrestleMania, Cena gets the title. After that, he goes into a feud with Ryback that goes nowhere, and then it just goes downhill from there. Like, it didn't do anything for the greater good.
The greater good.
It drew in an audience.
I guess kind of my point was more like, the greater good is not what, it's beyond what we're kind of looking at. If you're not on the internet, if you don't know people's contracts, if you don't know what's going on, you're not going to be having these feelings because all you're seeing is this show. Oh, The Rock's back. I wonder what's going to happen now. You don't know what's going to happen now because you're not reading about it. I think the whole point with The Rock is casual fans, part-time fans, kids that haven't seen him. I don't know. Like, I don't know whether it made any difference to their WrestleMania buy rates or whatever. I've not really looked into that kind of thing, but I think what us hardcore fans see is not necessarily what the average person sees, and it's the average person that they're trying to get to watch the product. During the Attitude Era, you still had the hardcore fans. You had people like, oh, Bret Hart should be champion, not Steve Austin. He's just some loudmouth twat that can't, who only has two moves or whatever. I'm sure that was going on at the time as well. So it's about getting the people that don't watch watching. And if we have to sit here and go, oh, this sucks, maybe that's just what we got to do. Maybe, you know, it's their business. That's what they do.
Well, that sucks. I don't like it. But
perfect Carmine impression right there. I hate everything.
During your rant, I drank a cup of tea and I started choking on it. So if my voice is fucked up, I apologize. But we have comments in our chat. The first one I'm going to read is from Witsy. Andy, you are lazy. How would you get a job? Fuck off. I'm not lazy. Number two.
And you can't read either, apparently.
What?
Wisty, not Witsy.
At least take the piss out of me because I can't read your stupid name.
I'm waiting for the next name. That's even better.
Yeah, this should be good.
Mifrandir.
Oh.
Brilliant. Finally, he said a word correctly.
Yay! He says, take WrestleMania 30. How excited did people get when Austin's music hit? Or The Rock's? It makes it more special if they are part-time and still want to wrestle.
Fair point.
But that was fine because they didn't actually wrestle. They just appeared and everyone simultaneously came in their pants.
Stone Cold didn't show up and win the WWE title.
Yeah.
It's different when it's the main event championship thing. Like, Stone Cold wants to show up and have a match with CM Punk, that's fine. But if he shows up and wins the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, that's not fine. It's different.
You could flip that around, though. You could flip that around and say, oh, The Rock's coming back. He's a part-timer. He's never going to win the title. Oh, fuck, he just won the title. What does that mean? Oh, my God.
It means you're doing a stupid rematch that no one wants to see. I'm sorry, I can't look at it that way. I guess I'm too cynical. It's just, I can't justify a part-timer winning the championship, especially when the only example we have is The Rock and it led to another Cena title reign. I just can't justify it.
Well, how is that the only example? Brock Lesnar is a part-timer and he just won the world title. And it's
I completely forgot about that, yes.
Yeah, that's pretty much the polar opposite of what you're saying.
Yes,
we've yet to see what happens with that.
That's true. Andy's right. That just happened. Hopefully that will be a good example when either Roman Reigns or Daniel Bryan defeats him. We never know, though.
You could take it way, 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 way back to the territory era, where each territory you would have somebody on top for a year, a couple of years, and then when they start getting to that John Cena, oh, you just go away, I don't give a shit about you anymore, this is boring, same old shit, they would disappear and go to another territory. Now the people living in, I don't know, Florida wouldn't necessarily see what was happening in New York. So to you, that guy's a part-timer, he's gone away. And then he comes back again a couple years later, and it's a big deal because he's back again, and he wins the title, or he helps the good guys beat the bad guys, or whatever. And then when it's boring again, they go away, and you know people in and out.
I feel that's different, though, because at least, like, a lot of the territories were under the NWA umbrella anyway, so it's like, you would be aware of some of these guys anyway. So, like, Ric Flair would go around all the different territories, or whoever was NWA champion at the time. I just happened to use Flair's name. But, you know, they would go around. You would know who the guy was, especially if they were the world champion or the part of the tag team champions. My voice is fucked. Or, I don't know, whatever belts they had at the time. With this, it's like, it's kind of an insult to the fans in the sense that, take SummerSlam, for instance. That main event, even though the event was okay, the booking of it and what it looked like on paper is like everything that is wrong with WWE right now. Because it's like, LOL Cena versus part-timer. It's like, why did you even feel that was a good idea? And that also, they revealed that, what, a month or two ahead of time. So, anything that happened in between then that didn't involve Cena or Brock was pointless. The Battleground main event. Pointless.
Well, that was poor planning on their part. That wasn't really the fault of booking. That was just like someone leaked something they weren't supposed to.
Stupid. And it's like Mifrandir says in the chat, how many of you thought Cena would still win? I personally would have flipped all of my shits if Cena had won that match. Because
just,
you know why?
Just before the show, I was backing down and saying, Cena might win this, guys. But obviously he didn't. But yeah, I didn't know.
It was great because he needs to just not win as much as he does. It's the one thing about Cena that annoys me more than anything. He's a 15-time world champion. But about half of those reigns have lasted, what, a month? And they've gone back and forth between pay-per-views. It's not anywhere near Ric Flair because, I mean, I'm going to admit now, I don't know much about Ric Flair's title history. I just know that he's won 16 world titles. I'm sure that he's had more reigns that have value, reigns that have worth to them, than Cena has when he wins the belt and loses it 3 months again later. There's no point. It's like a hot potato.
Yeah.
The thing with Cena is, Cena's Hulk Hogan, but they didn't stop. They didn't do the NWO. They just went ahead. When people started booing Hogan when he went to WCW and he was still red and yellow, that was Cena. Hogan would still be red and yellow. Like, they just kept going, and now half the audience is split. But they kind
and
of...
That's why he'll never turn heel. Half the audience is split, and because of that, if he turned heel, nothing would change.
Yeah.
You mentioned, Andy mentioned Dolph Ziggler earlier, though, and I think that's quite an interesting kind of topic because Dolph Ziggler has had a couple of concussions.
Ah, this was going to be one of my points.
One of them basically threw off his world title reign, and I've read a few things. I mean, it doesn't mean it's true, but I've read a few things where WWE are reluctant to put him back in the main event picture because he's had so many concussions and it could damage his health. Now, that's interesting in two ways, because one of the reasons why a wrestler might want to become a part-timer is because of the grueling schedule, because they get injured, because they get things like concussions. And it's like, you know, you have the Benoit tragedy happened. That was partly down to concussions. He had, you know, damaged areas of his brain and all that thing. You can watch my videos on that if anyone's interested. But after that, loads of people were talking about maybe wrestling should have an off-season. Bret Hart was writing blogs about maybe wrestling should have an off-season.
Mark Miro was saying stuff.
Yeah, Mick Foley, who he wrote that book, Countdown to Lockdown, where he went to TNA or whatever. But he had to retire in the end because he had too many concussions. And the idea that WWE has a grueling schedule and needs an off-season, it's like, If you're going to be a part-time wrestler, they're some of the reasons why you'd be a part-time wrestler. So it's like they're punishing people and giving people that are part-time wrestlers like the spotlight. So which is it? Are you going to punish people because you care about them? It's weird. Like Dolph Ziggler is a great wrestler. He's a young talent. He's worked his way up the ladder, but he gets a concussion. But for his own health, you're taking him out of the title picture. Maybe you should just give everybody an off season.
But I don't
I can
think
understand
any,
that.
I don't think there's any point in an era like if this was 10 years ago, or dare I say the Attitude Era, I would probably if they knew back then how bad a concussion was, I think it would have been introduced. But they didn't. But in an era now where concussions, wrestling is kind of like at the forefront of concussions and head injuries in the sense that take something recent like the World Cup in football or soccer or whatever the fuck you call it in your part of the world. There was a match, can't remember who it was, but basically two players both went to head the ball and they headbutted each other. One was okay-ish and the other guy knocked himself out and was out for about 2 minutes. He got up, he was taken off the pitch, and then decided, oh, howdy, hey, hey, we'll bring him back on. That is like the worst thing you could ever do. At least in wrestling and MMA, if you get a concussion, like, you're out for a fixed period of time. So in an era where people now understand about concussions, where the product is PG, there's no more shots of the head, it's very much a slow-down kind of product where they're not, like, fucking putting each other through tables every 29 fucking seconds. Like,
Jesus.
We're in a safer era now. I don't see the point in having a part-time thing now. I mean, back when Benoit did what he did, it was still a bit, let's put each other through tables every other week and smack each other with their chairs every week in the fucking head. So I don't see the point now, really.
But my point is, if people are getting concussions still, which they are, look at Christian. I guess he's been here a while and probably that's been developing for a while. But look at Dolph Ziggler. He's getting punished because he got injured when ideally everyone should be getting breaks. That's kind of my point. Like, they're punishing him for his own benefit. But it's like, well, no, give him a fucking title run.
Yeah.
But I mean, they might just give him, like, a trial period just to see how long he goes without getting another one. And then you'd be like, okay. And it doesn't help that Dolph takes, like, the craziest fucking bumps that look like the most suicidal and dangerous things I've ever seen in my life. Like, fair enough, bump like a crazy bastard. And I've never taken a bump in my life. But even I know that landing on your fucking head is not a good idea.
Yeah.
My voice is really going.
Wisty in the chat has an interesting proposal. It's like, have a 3-month break, and during that break, it's just NXT time.
That could work with more shows. Like, say you have Raw season, SmackDown season, NXT season. Basically, bring back, like, the brand division. Have several wrestlers compete in certain, okay, shows, leagues, whatever you want to call them, the Raw League, the SmackDown League. Have the titles there. And just do it on a seasonal basis.
But then you would have to pay $9.99, Michael.
Yeah.
Great
way to fit that one in.
There's lots of ways you can do an off-season. It doesn't even necessarily have to mean that the show ends at this point and comes back at this point. You could just constantly have, say, 4 or 5 guys that are not there. And throughout the year, rotates who those 4 or 5 guys are.
I was actually just going to say something like that. Yeah. The only issue with that I see is then championship reigns become predictable because it's like, well, this guy obviously can't have it for that much longer because he's about to go on his break.
And TNA kind of do that anyway. Like, I swear Dixie once said, oh, we have like a rotating door of people. And it's like, well, it fucks everything up. It fucks up the booking. It's just, it don't work for TNA. Everything that everyone ever wanted in wrestling is TNA, and it don't work.
Well, that's why so many people went to TNA, because it allowed them to have a fucking break once in a while. Like, they only have to go on certain days, and then they've got the rest of the week off. Like, Kurt Angle, who was struggling, he was obviously in pain, he got addicted to painkillers, all that kind of thing. In WWE, he was fucked. I know they pressured him to leave or whatever, but when he got to TNA, I'm not sure, you know, how he's dealing with things now or whatever, really, but at least he got a break. Rob Van Dam, he had to go look after his wife who had, like, cancer, he wanted a break. He got a break in TNA. So there is a kind of a demand for either an off-season or for some kind of part-timer thing when you reach a certain age. I don't know, like, I've got no, on a personal level, if somebody has worked in the business all these years, they've made their money, they've paid their dues, if they can work a deal where they get paid money and they don't have to do the WWE schedule, I've got no problem with that. You know, that's up to them. It's their bodies. They're the ones out there, like, breaking their backs and stuff for our entertainment. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with it on that level. I just think sometimes WWE just doesn't book it right. Like, yeah. Don't give the part-timers the titles. Don't promise Batista that you're going to be in the main event and then it just all fucks up. Like, if you're going to do it smart. But the concept, I don't have a problem with.
I mean, if you had part-timers, why don't you just use it then to have an opportunity to have a part-timer against a part-timer who's never faced off against each other before?
Yeah, part-timer feuds could be good. Like, people were clamoring when they heard, when a certain pair of part-timers were back, they heard, hey, what about Batista versus Lesnar? That's a thing.
I mean, hell, even Undertaker's thing, even though everyone's like, oh, some people are like, oh my god, I'm gonna jizz. Like, okay, fine, face off against each other, whatever, shut people up. That's fine. Don't have Sting beat, I don't know, Daniel Bryan or something. That'd be horrible. That'd be like one of the worst things ever.
Why don't they always... do, like, you've got WrestleMania, they is kind of become a semi-part-timer thing, but why don't they just have a pay-per-view that they build up as a kind of SummerSlam or, you know, not quite a WrestleMania, where they just have a handful of dream matches where the Goldbergs come back, Sting
or a Legends pay-per-view or something.
Yeah, something like that, like where they can get that out of their system and then have WrestleMania where the actual current champion who's not 50 years old can shine.
Yeah.
Maybe. Makes sense, I guess.
I feel like I have to say something positive about part-timers, and if there's anything positive about them, it's that they can be used as enhancement talent. When you look at people like Chris Jericho and Rob Van Dam, it's like they have a very easy job of, hey, Rob Van Dam, go up against Seth Rollins, Mr. Money in the Bank, make him look good. Rob Van Dam can do that. And it works. Hey, Chris Jericho, go up against up-and-comer Bray Wyatt, make him look good. He can do that. So,
yeah.
Part-timers definitely have a purpose. It's just their purpose is not in the main event.
They have a purpose when they are enhancement talent. But you can make the case that sometimes you do need them in the main title picture to just change the status quo, shake things up a bit, maybe for only 3 months, but you still need to change things.
Yeah.
You can put them in the title picture without giving them the title, like Chris Jericho versus CM Punk.
Giving them the title is what makes it different. If you don't give them the title, then it's just another predictable schlock.
Unless they do it right, like Chris Jericho versus CM Punk, which was good, even though we all knew Jericho wasn't going to win.
That can happen, but I'm not saying it should happen all the time, but all the part-timers always...
Well, part-timers being in the main event shouldn't be happening all the time anyway. But
it isn't really in today's landscape. It's not.
You've also got to remember, though, that these are people. So, say The Rock or Brock Lesnar or whoever, if they came to them and said, right, you're losing, you're putting over this guy, you're putting over that guy, The Rock or Brock Lesnar or whoever's going to say, I'm a massive star, fuck you, I'm not coming back.
All right,
so there's a certain amount of like ego massaging that has to play into that at the same time. Like,
that's when, as a promoter, you have to be able to stand your ground. If Rock says, fuck you, I don't want to lose, all right, bye, we got Dolph Ziggler ready and waiting. Dude, I don't
get
shit.
I think there's an argument, though, with somebody like The Rock that they are a huge star. They can... Like, I mean, he paid his dues. He's the biggest thing that pretty much ever happened to the WWE. Maybe Stone Cold, maybe Hogan, you can have the argument. But, like, if The Rock's not a giant star that can win the title, then, I don't know, is it worse not having him at all? I'm not sure.
I get where you're coming from. You either have him win the title, or what's the point, right?
Well, I'm just saying I don't know whether he would want to come back if it wasn't a big deal. And if it didn't...
You can put him in a feud that's a big deal. Like, it's not like it's going to be the most one-sided thing. It's not like Cena's going to beat Rock like Brock beat Cena. It's not like it's going to be a squash match. He can be in a feud that's a big deal. It's just I cannot justify giving The Rock the WWE World Heavyweight Championship in 2014.
So wait. So what are you suggesting? Like some kind of Legends title?
No, I don't know. Because, like, with Keelan's argument there, it's like he shows up and it's like, what's the point if you don't give it to him? Like, are you just supposed to crumple over the weight of The Rock's popularity?
Well,
it's like,
I'm just, it has to be weighed up. Like, there's various things that we're not privy to. Like, I mean, I'm sure we could go look at buy rate numbers. I'm sure we could look at, you know, how ratings have gone up or down. If you're in WWE shoes, I'm just saying that there's a lot of things you have to consider, and like you might decide that bringing Rock back and giving him the title is better than saying go away, we don't want your services at all. Like there's a balance. I'm not sure what that is. I'm just saying that it has to be considered.
Definitely, there has to be an even balance between why part-timers are good and have benefits for the company, but also why they can sometimes hinder the people in that company.
And I think, like, I did mention buy rates, and I think one of the things was Rock and Brock Lesnar didn't necessarily because they pay them a lot of money to come in. They did boost the buy rates, but the amount they pay them, I don't think actually made it worth it, if that makes sense. So I don't know whether, like, maybe next year, I don't think we're going to get the same kind of thing. I think they've probably learned from that, that maybe part-timers aren't... Yeah.
I don't know. It's a very thin line, and you're right, there's a balance somewhere, and maybe I'm just too, like, stuck in my ways to realize it. There's so few exceptions to my stance of I cannot justify giving a part-timer the world championship. I just can't. Maybe something smaller, like put him in a tag team with a current roster guy, give him a tag title run, maybe. I don't know. I can't justify that.
I guess it all depends where they are in the fans' minds anyway, where they were on the card before they left. Like Rob Van Dam coming back, he's not going to get the world title because he never really got there to begin with.
But the problem is, it's like you have almost like what TNA has now. They have no workers. They have no over people at all because they just kept hiring like all these old people. So...
But that doesn't apply to WWE though. Like there's so many people that are over and ready to be thrown in a title picture. It doesn't apply.
Yeah, but I mean, if you keep bringing in these people, right? It's just like, you're not creating any new stars. It's just fucking stupid.
Yeah, don't we already have enough of those already?
Yeah, we have plenty of new stars.
WWE have, yeah, that's the thing. They've, in the last year or two, WWE have realized that, oh shit, we actually do need to make some new stars. We do need to push forward with this new generation of people. Because before that, it was just kind of Cena wins, LOL. Let's bring back The Rock. And yeah, Dolph Ziggler looks like a twat. But
just the trade-off of we're going to take the title from CM Punk, who everyone loves to hate. We're going to give it to The Rock as a transitional champion for John Cena, who's 50-50. I can't justify that. But with Brock Lesnar, it's like there's plenty of stars ready to take it from him who took it from Cena, so he's different. It really depends on who the part-timer takes it from and who they're giving it to.
I mean, the only way that this Brock thing's going to work is if, like, Brock loses to Reigns. That's the only way it's ever going to work.
Or Brian.
No, not Brian, for God's sake.
Why not Brian? Are you kidding?
Brian? Brian's over enough as it is.
And give him more over by beating Lesnar. How could that hinder him?
It won't hinder him, but then you need like more. You need more than Brian, for Christ's sake. Especially if
they
do ruining
have
him
more than
Brian.
You were just saying how you need people that are over to be in the title picture, and that's why TNA's in trouble because they don't have anyone who's over. Daniel Bryan's over, so put him in the title picture. I don't understand where you're this blocking of Daniel Bryan's coming from.
There's logic in that.
No, I mean like you could have somebody new with Roman Reigns.
Okay, that's fine. But
Daniel Bryan's title reign was kind of cut short and, like, almost undone due to this injury. So what better way to reintroduce him as...
Yeah, he has unfinished business that needs finishing. Roman Reigns isn't ready yet. He'll get his time in about maybe 6 months to a year.
Yeah, but
Bryan
like,
needs
fucking...
to finish his now.
What I'm worried about, guys, is Night of Champions is a rematch.
Oh, fuck off!
And Brock Lesnar.
Is it? So... Like, is that official?
Yeah, it was announced on Main Event. So,
oh my God, why?
So, are they going to beat Cena twice?
And yes,
really bury
that's exactly
him?
What they need to do. They need to beat Cena
twice. Or is this
going to
be, LOL, Brock Lesnar's a part-timer, we won't really give him the title.
But what was the point of any of it anyway?
To make Cena a 16-time world champion.
No!
Like, I don't know, part-timers in general are just like a pain in the neck. They're an issue because they show up. They do a little bit for the main show. It's like, hey, I'm on Raw. Look at my face. And then they leave and they don't do any other work. Kind of sounds like a couple people I know, but, you know, not naming names.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, nothing. It's not like we've been over this before. Anyway.
No, what are you talking about?
Oh,
really? Yeah, you want to know what I'm talking about? It's not like
no,
we went
I
over
wanna
this
know.
2 weeks ago
on,
and two weeks
it.
Before that.
Are you talking
the fact about? That we are the only ones who put our own weight around here. The
you
fact
two
that
are the equivalent
so
to part-timers.
Whoa. I'm making the whole entire website off my own back because no one even knows how to do that.
I've been here from the beginning.
I'm paid for
left.
The web hosting on my own server. So
Oh, wind your neck. Been here from the beginning. Sounds like The Rock. Hey, guess what? Now I'm just going to decide to leave and show up whenever I want. That's the end of my mentality.
How about
that? You did leave. You've been gone like four times. There have been like four different occasions where I've had to fill in.
It's like 6 years I've been gone four goddamn times.
Guess what? It's still showing up and disappearing whenever you want.
Time for a Starburst break.
What the fuck? Like.
Yeah, you do, man, because you can't contribute anything of worth to this argument, can you?
I can!
Not you, Starburst boy over here.
Who the fuck is Starburst boy?
Keelan, are you not even listening to the fight we're having right now?
But I don't understand the references.
Unbelievable.
You never understand the references. That's why we are the ones who entertain.
Yeah, I just can't. You make these empty threats, Andy, and you say all these things, and then none of it ever happens.
Yeah, you want to bring change? Do that. Until then, shut your mouth.
Last week, you were going on and on about, oh, I got this secret thing I'm going to bring in. You never see it coming. Oh, really? You got nothing. You come every show empty-handed. You contribute nothing.
I have no idea what's going
on. What do I don't understand? You what's any your idea problem? What's going? I don't get it.
You are the problem.
Me? Why am I the problem?
Oh my god, we're in an infinite loop.
If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. It's as simple as that.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Take, for example, the fact that me and Brooks have started yet another show on the channel with none of you involved.
Yeah. We have the initiative to do that because we're clever people, smarter than even you, I dare
say. Shut up! I'm doing something!
Not everyone's doing something?
What a change! Change your face!
Stop arguing!
And then Brooks, for example, just started making title plates for... What is that?
Make them stop arguing!
What the fuck? What's going on?
They keep arguing!
What are you doing?
Are you seriously on the phone while we're live?
Are you Allie?
Yes, I'm trying to get Liam on, but he fucking...
What are you doing?
Make him stop!
Come on.
Starburst.
Same.
Liam, they keep arguing, and I don't know why. They're fucking ruining everything.
Are you insane?
Come and save me. You idiot.
You are insane.
It's like Sam and Carmine. They just keep arguing about, they've been on the show for years and shit, and I don't understand.
You're not even understanding our points.
You have no idea what you're doing here.
Are they going to kick me off if I come on?
I won't kick you off. Just get on here.
Are you nuts?
Don't bring
go,
him.
Go, go, go!
No!
You doing?
You're insane.
I am sick of this bullshit. I'm done with this crap. You fucking fuckheads are the worst two people on this fucking show's history. You're worse than Liam. I have no fucking idea what's wrong with you two. We gave you a fucking opportunity to be on this show. You can stick this on your stupid resume and on your CV, and you could probably get a job interview, or you could do something with it.
We gave you the opportunity
of a lifetime. No other fucking podcast brings on their fans to do anything, you fucking asshole.
And people have the nerve to say I'm crazy. Are you nuts? Yes, do you realize what you're doing?
You're bringing an end to this.
Is your solution to just blow everything up so no one wins? Are you nuts?
Right. Hi.
God damn it.
What do you want?
So... Andy, I'm going to get to Andy at some point because I'm not happy with him.
No, I've been a dickhead.
There's a lot I need to fight with him about, but he's told me something about you two.
Ooh, what did he tell you about Liam?
What has he told
me? So much. So, well, to be fair, I've been keeping track of what you guys have been doing. And I got to say, it's quite embarrassing, I must say. I'm surprised that you guys even have the balls to even show up on this show, because what you have been doing is, frankly, nothing short of humiliating. Not just to yourself, but to this show that I built. Not fucking Andy. Fuck him for a second.
What?
I fucking did this.
What the fuck is happening?
Shut up, Andy. I'm still not done with you.
See what
you've brought this into anarchy.
I am not done with Bogman over here. I'm talking to you. So let's not. I'll get to Carmine in a minute. Let's talk to Seth Rollins over here.
I have a name.
Let's talk to Caitlyn, Mister. Oh, I made the greatest.
groundbreaking show on this network. Yes,
I did.
Doug Walker called. He wants the Nostalgia Critic show back. Bullshit. Is that you're fucking so groundbreaking?
It's groundbreaking.
You saw one guy's show and you're like, I've got an idea. That's what you've done. You've took the Nostalgia Critic and you've just made it wrestling related. That is literally what you, that is not fucking groundbreaking.
And it's somehow the main podcast, you dickhead.
That's fucking
brilliant.
Copyright infringement. Get it, Grip.
I'm Liam and I'm going to invade a show with no internet connection.
I've been 5 fucking years for managing university and a film fucking degree. What? Nothing. Come on. Get a grip with your life. Oh, Mr. America over there, fucking calm down. You will get to in a minute. I'm dealing with Caitlin over here. Mouse. What have you got to say to yourself, Mr. fucking...
I've done this for 5 weeks and they don't appreciate me.
Seriously? Fucking groundbreaking? No. No. The only thing you're groundbreaking is your fucking patheticness. Exactly. Silence
where
is golden.
Have you been
now, let's talk about... Let's talk I've been working on the fucking Avengers. Shut the fuck up for a moment. Let's talk to Carmine over here. Yeah? Let's talk to Carmine. Mr...
Oh, I'm going to keep the show going.
Yeah, really? Is that why you ran it into the fucking ground? Is that why you can't do any of the technical stuff?
I can't do the live stream. Oh, I'm doing a show for half an hour and yet I don't realize it's not fucking playing.
Yeah, brilliant. Mr. fucking leading the team here.
Liam,
fantastic.
Watch your
fucking literally,
mouth.
honestly.
Very close to going
honestly,
over the line. I'm trying to stay calm.
You are just...
You're pushing it.
Come on. I mean, I'm pushing it.
I'm...
You know exactly what I mean. You know exactly what I mean.
You have no right to talk. You have no right to talk. You started the show. You go on and on about how you started the show. This is your show. This is the Liam Dunn show, everybody. Super is my show. Guess what? 6 months ago, you left for no conceivable reason.
You know what this is all stemmed from? This goes all the way back to some fictional fucking award that he created at the end of last year that I jokingly took away from him, and he pathetically keeps going on about it. Mr. I was co-host of the IT. Yeah, 3 fucking people voted for you, including yourself. Doesn't
no one voted for you!
It doesn't fucking matter. I said I wasn't in it.
You're so stupid. This has nothing
so
to do with anything.
That you are literally just like, I hate Liam because he took away a fictional award that I created. Oh, I'm going to fucking shit in my pants over that. Literally, that's all you've been doing. Literally, take the sock off your cock and stop jizzing in it. Get a grip, go outside and do something with your life. Instead of sitting here going, oh, Liam took away a fictional award. Fuck him. I'm going to fucking go on my Let's Play that nobody watches and make fun of him.
To stand on, first of all, this award seems to be your only ammunition against me. I don't know what it is.
Really? Because that's the only reason why you dislike me.
No, I dislike you because you're the type of asshole who says you started something great and then you abandoned it 6 months ago. Remember that part? Remember the part where you just left?
Oh, okay. Do you want the let's talk about this whole leaving thing for a second.
Yes, let's talk about that because
you know why I left.
Nothing.
Do you know why I left?
Because you're a dick.
No, of course you don't know. Fucking shut up, Caitlin. No wonder you don't fucking know why I left. I made it sound like I left because I was angry at wrestling. No. I'm sorry. My fucking film career was taking off. And believe me, this show at the time,
the Rock's music.
State it was in, was beneath me. But I've seen what has happened. And I actually didn't think this show could go any fucking lower. I'm shocked at how bad... Whose bright idea was it to have fucking 23 co-hosts on a show?
We don't have 23 co-hosts.
Fuck off, Andy. I'm talking.
What is wrong? Are you an idiot? You're trying to argue with people, and then when they respond, you tell them to shut up. You're the biggest piece of shit I've ever met.
You're like a fucking 12-year-old.
Oh, this is so rich coming from 2 19-year-olds. It's beautiful. I'm sorry. Since I've not done this show, I've worked on the fucking Avengers. I've worked on fucking Channel 4 stuff. I've worked on films that have been released in cinemas. I've had things shown on broadcast.
And nobody knows your name.
It's being shown at Raindance. And yet we've got Carmine Antonelli who's flipping burgers. and fucking Caitlin over here, who thinks it's funny because I'm going to make a Rest in Peace Supla video. Troll-a-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Brilliant.
You're so brain dead. You can't even recognize what my actual name is, cock.
Brain dead? I'm sorry. You're the one who's taken somebody else's show and masqueraded it as your own. Let's not talk about brain dead here, my friend.
Yeah, I took your show and I turned your tin cans into fucking gold. That's what I did.
But no one watches this anymore.
Let's look at your live stream. You've got 8 viewers, 4 of them are you.
Liam.
When I was in charge, it would at least hit over 20. It got at least in double figures. It wasn't much, but it was fucking more than what you guys have dragged this show into.
Let's not talk about the part where the Raw review is the most popular show in this channel's history. Let's not talk about the fact that it's the most discussed channel.
Is it?
Let's not talk about the part where I plug every show and get all the views.
That got over 100,000 views. So let's.
Oh, the part where we were singing about tossing salad. Again, I reiterate, you guys not get views.
Fuck
you
off.
Embarrass yourselves.
Oh, no,
you
no.
You get views on general analysis and actual discussion, and yet you guys have to sing about bullshit to get views. Sorry, I think we win that round.
No, I got more views about saying how much I like to suck ass, even though I don't even like that at all, more than you talking about Raw, you jerk-off! Shut the fuck up!
Checkmate!
That falls into the
checkmate! Shut up, that shows the charisma-
Shut your mouth, you piece of shit!
You have so little charisma
over the rest
of us.
I am very close to losing my shit.
Why are you talking like you're constipated?
Who's your shit, mate?
We're doing a live show. We have an audience. We should end this and settle this away from the idiots. How about that?
No! 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 You do not call our fans idiots!
They are idiots!
You want to hang the dirty laundry out for everyone to see? Fine. Let's do it.
Of 2 19-year-olds who think they know everything when they have not had a life experience at all.
Oh, I'm working on the Avengers, and I did this and that, but no one knows my fucking name.
That's so funny. Resorting to jealousy, genius.
No wonder you guys are in charge of this.
I clearly know what you're doing. The best thing, so
I'm going to listen to what he's doing.
Shut up.
I flip burgers. I'm going to make fun of him.
Shut up.
Keep going back to that as if it means anything. People know.
Because you work at fucking Burger King and I worked on the
Just as many people know my name for working at Burger King. You I shut up, Andy. You started this mess.
Movie. The show's gone 7 minutes too late. I have to get up for a job tomorrow, so please, can you sort this out? Okay, thanks.
Right. The reason why I brought Liam back...
I'm happy to keep going.
Shut up! The reason why I brought Liam back, the reason why I've done all this, is to stop this petty shit. We are all.
Look at how much petty shit you've brought up just by bringing him back. Was that your plan?
You turned into Liam... And so is Sam turned into what Liam was like. Liam was an asshole before he came, like, before he left. And now you're like,
he's gotten so much worse. Now he's got
fucking
ego.
Successful asshole who's done more in the past 5 months than you've done in your fucking life.
Oh, listen to this ego.
He's got an ego.
Yeah,
no one knows
ego that's worked his ass off to get where he is. What are you doing, fucking Seth Rollins? Oh, I'm going to make a video making... Oh, let's do Titantrons where I rip off everybody. I'm going to base mine on Seth Rollins because I have the same hair as him. Brilliant.
Vince Russo likes
I'm
the
sorry, haven't
right
you
now?
Done two that's videos crazy. For this channel and
you
yet you're the most
so
groundbreaking,
boring.
Most watched
person. Oh my god.
Right, the point is...
At least I make more than two fucking videos.
Okay, shut up. I'm going to make two announcements. Number one, the co-host of the year award is dead. Because I can't be arsed having this fucking argument anymore. Number two, everyone is now back, okay?
What?
Because I'm sick to death of the arguments. I'm sick to death of this crap.
Back.
We're all on a level playing field, and the only reason this show's gone down the shitter is because we keep arguing and it's not right, okay?
You
sort
think
out
bringing
this
him back will stop the arguing? Are you insane?
Stop this.
Right, but it'll fucking bring back viewers.
I like the bit where we talked about wrestling. That was a good bit of the show.
Right? It doesn't matter how much like, you want to edit stuff. You want to edit stuff? Go edit stuff. You want to co-host? Go co-host stuff. You want to fucking host the thing? Host the thing. For Christ's sake, can we stop complaining and just do something, for God's sake?
Rich coming from you.
Look, I'm sorry, but I'm fucking coming back, and I'm taking charge of this show again.
No, you're not. I veto this. You're not coming back.
You can't veto this. I created it, so...
When you left, this friggin' this became a democracy, not a dictatorship. So I'm vetoing it. I vote no.
No. Well, no. Liam is back.
What are you talking about? I just voted no. We're not gonna put this to a vote?
No.
Do it off screen. We're running over time. Just fucking end the show.
So, I have been Andy Quan.
No, I'm not doing the outro. We're done. Fuck it.
What do you mean, fuck it?
No, this is insane. We're just going to throw everything out the window?
No, Carmine, we're done. Wait 5 minutes. We're done.
Unbelievable.
Stick a fork in them, they're done.
Well, goodbye, I guess.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks. Like I said, I'm making a website. I don't know what I'm making a website for, because it looks like it all just blew up, but there you go.
Oh, it's not blown up. I'm back, mate.
End the live stream.
Please,
right,
make
now.
You shut up, please.
End
put
the
audience out of their misery. Please end this.
This shit is safe.
That's shut up.
Jump your phone.
Can you end the live stream so the audience doesn't have to listen to this anymore?
Get the song.
Shut up, Tom. Oh, little shit, honestly.
The song is playing. Shut up.
Why are we doing a song? Just shut it off. Liam's obviously not going to stop with his fucking ego.